It wasn't on the recording. It was not on the recording. There's going to rain bread from the heavens. The people should go out and collect it every day. And this will be a test to see if we will follow the Torah. And the Jews got the man. So there are a lot of discussion about what would the reason be for. What would man be? Why would man be a test to see if Jews would follow the Torah or not? What exactly is the test? So Rashi says that the test is that there are a lot of halachos that are involved with the man. You have to you can't take too much. You can't do it on Shabbos. And if the Jews could keep the few halachos that are involved in the man, so then maybe this is a sign that they'll also be able to keep. The many halachos that are involved in that are involved in the Torah. The Rashbam says, though, it's really a question of emunah, that the Jews were only allowed to collect for the man every day. They'd be allowed to collect whatever the allotment for the day was going to be, and to have enough belief that Hashem would be able to give you that He'll provide for you food, even though there's a ton of food in front of you right now. It's kind of like when you go upstairs on Pancake Day and you got a hoard, stuff it in, it's right in front of me, so I got to get as much as I can. So right now, there's a lot of mud in front of us. There's a test. Do I have to hoard for tomorrow, or can I really believe in God enough that He's going to provide for me tomorrow as well? And there's a test in Emunah, which is really a test of Torah as well. But I thought that if that is the reason, so then there's an extra clause in the pasuk. Because he really should have said then, "Hinini mamtir lachem lechem min hashemayim." I'm going to rain man. It's going to be man is going to fall from the sky, and then right after that, the Torah should tell us, and that will be the test to see if you follow the Torah or not. But why does it go out of its way, the Torah, to say, "V'yatzah ha'am v'laktu d'var yom biyomo," that the people should go out and collect it every day? That's a nice halacha, but why is that important for the introductory pasuk of man? What's interesting about the man is that we see later on and throughout the next coming parshios, so we see all the time the Jews are complaining about the man. Ah, the man stinks. The man doesn't taste like anything. We could do much better. We'll go to Halotei Man. We'll get much better food. Like who needs the dumb man? We can't take it. Now imagine for a second, I guess on a lower level, if Rabbi Berman came every morning and he dropped off like a tray of breakfast at everybody's, but you don't have to get out of bed, you don't have to do anything. Food will be right there. Or when you get older and you'll have to make a living in order to support your family. So instead of having to make a living, wouldn't it be awesome if you woke up every day and right next to the New York Times or the Cleveland, I don't know, whatever, what's the Clinic. The Cleveland Clinic and the is that what it is? The plain dealer. Is that like a drug guy, or right? Or whatever newspaper right next to it would be a package of food that we'd be able to use every day. Wouldn't that be awesome? And when you walked outside that day and you saw the food sitting there, what would you say? It'd be like, yeah, I can't believe God sent me shawarma again. Oh, my everyday shawarma, it stinks. On the contrary, we would probably say, "Well, that is, wow, God, I love you. That is miraculous." But what happened with the man? How could the Jews complain about something like the man? Were they dumb? Were they ungrateful for all the greatness that Hashem did? Like, what happened? How do you explain how they could complain about the man? And the answer is because when we see something day in and day out, so then we forget or we become so numb to the fact that it's actually miraculous. Even if something so crazy as food coming down from the sky, so even that could become not so miraculous. And we're laughing at them, at the Jews, that when we read these stories in the Chumash, we laugh at them and we're like, ah, you stupid Jews. Don't you see what God's doing for you? You have food that's landing right at your doorstep. Isn't that an unbelievable miracle? But the question that we should ask ourselves is that if we look at things that we have in our lives, how many, if you took it from somebody else's perspective, how many people would then be laughing at us at the foolishness of what we have. We wake up every morning, so we kind of take it for granted. Yeah, of course my heart is beating. What's the big deal? That's just what it does. And of course I'm able to walk and see. And, you know, so there's a bracha pokeach ivrim, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, because we see all the time, so we forget how miraculous it is. If we studied the science about what went behind, what goes behind our ability to see or hear or smell or talk or think or remember or create or anything that we're able to do, if we're conscious about all those miracles, even though they happen every single day, so then we would have a glimpse at how great God really is. And that's why what the Torah is telling us is that the test of the man really is v'laktu d'var yom b'yomo. The fact that you have to go get it every single day, that's the test of whether you're going to follow the Torah or not. Because if we were sensitive to realize that there were miracles happening to us every day that we forget about because we see them every day, so that, I don't feel like getting up for Shacharis. You don't feel like getting up for Shacharis? Some of us. You don't feel like getting up for Shacharis? What's the matter with you? What's the matter? You're not going to talk to God. Don't you realize what God did for you? You woke up this morning. I'm not in the mood to learn Gemara today. Not in the mood to learn Gemara today. Don't you realize what God did for you? You know what it took for you to get up and to eat and to digest the food properly and then to have the ability of being able to... On Friday night, it was an amazing scene. My kid comes into the dining room on Friday night and blasts out Rufei Kol Basara Mafli Lasos, and everybody starts giggling, like, oh, that was so cute. Look at the little kid saying Hashi Yatzar out loud. But do we ever think about what it means to the ability to go to the bathroom? I remember when my father was sick, and he was so weak that he couldn't get out of bed, and they had to put a catheter into his body in order that he would be able to not lie in his way. And then you say Ashi Yatzar with Kavanah, because now all of a sudden it's not regular anymore. It's not Dvar Yom B'Yomo. So what does that mean? We have to wait till we lose a privilege? We have to wait till our eyesight's at risk? We have to wait till God forbid, lo aleinu, that we're at risk of paralysis, and then all of a sudden now we're going to wake up and be like, wow, God, you're so great. But the reason why we don't commit totally to Hashem, and the reason why we're not totally committed to davening with real kavana and to learning with real intensity, is because at the end of the day, because these things happen all the time, we don't appreciate them nearly as much as we should. The same way that we laugh at the people in the desert, and we're like, "Are you out of your mind? You don't think the man is a miracle?" So sometimes we need to step out of ourselves and look at things from a different perspective. For example, can you imagine, we live in Israel. What are you going to do? You're in Israel. What are you going to do with your time in Israel? Well, I'm going to go to Eilat. I got a scuba dive. I'm going to go Nachal Yehudia. We're going to jump off waterfalls. We're going to go to En Gedi. It's beautiful over there. We're going to, I got to go to the beach. Can you imagine, let's rewind 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Can you imagine telling somebody in Europe, listen, we get to, what are you doing today? I'm going to go to Yeshiva in Rabbi Chemish in Israel. So we say it nonchalantly. You know what would come out of their mouth? That's a miracle. I'm not sure. I guess last week's thoughts, I guess Israel's really the right place to live, but I don't know. Yeah, so much trouble. I don't know. How am I going to make a living? And how am I going to this? And how am I going to that? Can you imagine telling somebody over the last 2,000 years, any Jew, we have the ability to live in Israel if we have that choice, and I might decide that I don't want to. You know what he's going to say? You a fool? You have a chance at the miracle of Israel, and you're going to cough it up for what? But because this is the way that we lived every day, so we're used to it. The second Ethiopian member of the Knesset, Shlomo Mula, he grew up in Ethiopia. And then he decided that they wanted to go to Israel. They barely had any money. So his father sold a cow for $2. And he gave, you should watch this video on ish.com. So if they're locked in the computer room, I'll get you on the office, it's worth it. The father sold the cow for $2, and he paid a Christian tour guide because they were going to walk 780 kilometers from Ethiopia through Sudan, through Egypt, cross the Sinai, and into Israel. And on the way, so when they crossed into Sudan, so the Sudanese army started shooting at them. They killed a whole bunch of people, and they took them into prison for 3 months, tortured them for 3 months, and then let them out. What are you doing here? We're refugees. So they sent them to a refugee camp after 3 months of torture. They had no money. They barely had any clothes. They had nothing. They're sitting in a refugee camp, and a white guy comes over to them and says, I know why you're here. Meet me here tonight. I'm gonna help you out. I'll get you. He said it was only the second time in his life that he's seen somebody who was of white skin. But what did they have to lose? Because they had nothing going on for him anyway. So a bunch of them follow this guy into the desert. They walk through the desert, boiling hot, for 5 hours. They get to this place, and the guy says, listen, you're not going to understand what's about to happen. Now think, they've already been tortured, and they've already been shot at. And now, who knows what's going to happen? The guy says, listen, there's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be, the wind is going to start to swirl. It's going to be really crazy. But don't be afraid, everything's going to be okay. So they don't know what to expect. All of a sudden, there's a huge commotion, a massive noise. The dust is like flying all over the place. All of a sudden, people start screaming, run, run, run. They herd them into this big metal thing. They close the door. And then as it starts to move, so somebody gets on the microphone and says, Havenu Shalom Aleichem. And then 4 hours later, they fly from Sudan into Israel in the first massive operation of Ethiopians into Eretz Israel. They saw what was going on, and they're like, what is this thing? It's got two long things out of the side, it's a metal can, and we flew what should have taken us months on a 780-kilometer trip. It took us a few hours just to get to Israel. That's crazy. That is miraculous. It must be the Mashiach is coming. But for us, after all, what it says? Hashem says, "V'asa aschem al kanfei nesharim." I'm gonna carry you on eagle's wings. But for us, it's an airplane. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we'll get in the airplane. Hopefully, the kosher food won't be too bad. Hopefully, the guy in front of me in the bathroom won't stink it up, so I don't get messed up. Yeah, and then we'll get to 10 hours. And if you go to LA, forget it. It's brutal. I can't believe they can't make something faster. But for him, for Shlomo Mula, who then eventually ended up making something of his life and getting to the Knesset, so for him, he never saw an airplane in his life. Can you imagine how miraculous the notion of an airplane really was? For us, it's mun. We see it every day. Not so, who cares? Not so special. Try to describe to somebody, I could send a letter. I could put it into this box. And I could send it all the way across the world in the matter of a second. Ask somebody 100 years ago, you know what they'll say? Really? That's a miracle. We call it fax machine. I'm 6,000 miles away from my family, but I could speak to them and I could see them like simultaneously. Ask somebody 100 years ago, they'd be like, you're out of your mind. What are you talking about? It's a miracle. For us, that's not a miracle. What are you talking about? It's computers. It's Skype, it's GChat, it's IM, it's BBM. Nobody talks. It's not a miracle. But sometimes when we live things day in and day out, so we don't appreciate how miraculous these things really are. And if we want to know if they're miracles or not, so sometimes we have to step outside of ourselves and ask somebody else, what do you think about an airplane? What do you think about a fax machine? What do you think about a computer? What do you think about Israel? And then we'll know. What do you think about eyesight? What do you think about the ability to walk? And then we'll know. Leman anaseno. Then we'll have an appreciation of what God really does for us. Is it right that we should be spoiled just because we have a lot of things going for us? So now all of a sudden I don't have to pay attention to what's really miraculous? Or should I take a gut check and have some integrity and say to myself, well, wait a second. I am now paying attention. God's doing a ton of good things for me. What should I do for Him? The things that are regular don't make them any less miraculous. That Hashem should give us the wisdom and the insight to be able to notice what's really happening in our world and what's really happening with ourselves so that we could appreciate all the good that He's doing for us and all the greatness that He has in this world.